first things first, thank you very much to Crystal Dunn, Allie Krieger, members of both the Washington Spirit and the U.S. Women's qualifying team for the Olympics, for joining us in studio. Really appreciate you making time out of your schedule. I know it's middle of the season. Things are a little crazy, so thank you for coming down.
No problem. Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Right before we went on, you were videotaping some stuff with your phone. I wanted to ask you guys anyway. I know the last few years in general, like with social media continuing to expand into different areas, being athletes, how is it using social media? Is it almost overwhelming with the amount of people that you guys interact with on a daily basis? Like, do you run your own accounts fully? Do you let other people run it? Or how protective are you of sort of your what you do online?
Yeah, I mean, I run my own account, and I think it's really important. It's just a really great way to feel connected to people and for people to kind of have a understanding of who you are. I know it's hard, especially being an athlete, and, you know, people look up to us. So I feel like social media is their kind of gateway into our lives. I'm not saying they should know us fully, but I think social media is a great way for them to get a feel of who we are.
I agree. I mean, I don't run all of my website. I've had some help with that with Cynthia Hopgood, who has managed that really, really well for me. And that has been a huge help, because I do get overwhelmed at times having to do, you know, sticking with Twitter and Facebook and the fan page, but then your private page on Facebook. And then, you know, Instagram is blowing up, and now Snapchat. I do have a Snapchat, but I keep it private just so that, you know, I don't have to like worry about holding things back just in case, you know, that just have a little bit of privacy. You don't want to like, I don't know. There's certain, I guess, extent that we do share with the fans, and that I think is appropriate. And it's a really good way to connect with the fans and kind of have that relationship with them, and to make everyone feel like we are in this together, and, you know, having their support and kind of connecting with us on a different level than just soccer, I think, is super important.
Do you see big spikes in terms of like engagement around big games? Does your phone start to just overload and blow up? Do you have to go turn it off to keep the notifications from rolling in?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, we have a big game tomorrow, and I think especially us playing Portland Thorns tomorrow, I mean, I think social media has, you know, gotten a little bit more intense as the week goes on. But that's what we love. We enjoy our fans kind of knowing what's going on and being aware of, you know, the fact that we have a big game tomorrow, and we want their support, and we obviously hope they can come, and things like that.
Yeah, it's super important. So going off of what Crystal said, you want people to know what's going on and where to be, what time, you know, and that's just easy access for, you know, social media and for us to kind of connect, and then, you know, let our fans know, you know, the new updates or what's going on, and just to be involved and to support us. And I think that's what we like.
So I'm glad you brought up tomorrow, Saturday, yes. Fourth game of the season. First three have gone pretty well, I would say, so far. You guys are 3-0, a couple road wins, which is always nice.
Right? Doing the most.
Doing the most.
So, I mean, how has this year kind of lived up to your expectations so far? What have you seen that's been obviously maybe better or different this year, you know, versus the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, we have a new coach this year, and obviously going into the season, you know, we don't know fully what to expect, but we had a really great core group coming into this season, and I think just having that, we already knew, like, you know, nothing really is going to change. We're going to have the same mentality. We're going to go out every game and work very hard for each other, and I think that's what's made all the difference this year so far is, you know, we're not even playing the best soccer that we can play, and we're winning games. And I think our best is yet to come. And I think just keeping things simple, just putting in the effort across the board, I think is what has given us our success so far.
Absolutely. And, you know, going off of stuff off the field as well, our chemistry has been key. And I think that, you know, that just, it makes it so much more fun to go to work every single day, is because this team is so wonderful. We're, you know, we respect each other. We're a humble group, and we're hard workers. And, you know, you're going to get a good product out on the field if you have that chemistry and you fight for each other. And it doesn't matter, you know, if we're not having the best day on the pitch, but, you know, we have each other's backs, and that's what's most important. And I think the chemistry is key this year, and it's been building in the past 3 years that we've had our group together, because that's a type of advantage I think that we have on everyone else is we have a core group that has stuck together through this entire time.
Well, and this is the fourth year of the NWSL, which is a landmark year. It's the longest that a women's soccer league in America has been going. Mm-hmm. How have you noticed like the level of competitive play over the course of the league? Have you noticed a rise in the level? Has it gotten better every year as you've gone along?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. I mean, we're obviously grateful that U.S. Soccer has, you know, put in, you know, a lot of the money in funding this league. And it's also helped that the sponsors and the fans are each year getting more and more interested and supportive. And I think that has made such a big difference. And also the connection to the men's team, you know, in the men's league here, you know, that has also helped to, you know, just make the league and the NWSL so much better. And I don't know. I think that this year is just something different. It feels like everyone is just all in and we're growing, and every year there's a new team that comes in, but they're not the ones struggling the most. Mm-hmm. They're actually bringing in the most fans. And I think that is what is so surprising, but in a healthy way and in a positive direction. You see that the league is growing in that direction. And I think that, you know, next year it's just going to get even better.
Allie, you're from here. You grew up here. This is home. We talked a little bit about this in the past, but what is it like playing really for your hometown team, which is something that a lot of pro athletes just don't get to do? You don't get to make that decision in a lot of sports, and it kind of worked out for you. But what does that mean to be able to, you know, have your family and your friends around?
It's incredible. I've been away. You know, I was in Europe for about 5.5 years right after college, before, you know, 2012, or before the WP or the NWSL came back, excuse me. And you know, it was tough for my family and friends to come overseas and watch me play and at such a high level and in a really good league. So it was nice that I was able to be allocated to my hometown team, because that is just a dream come true, that you want to play in front of your hometown fans. You want to play in front of your family, your friends. And I'm so grateful that all of them are able to now come watch me play and not, you know, 4,000 miles overseas to have to make that trip. It was a lot. So now playing at home, playing in DC in the metropolitan area, I mean, it's been incredible. And my family loves to come to the games, and my friends enjoy it as well. And it's just a great city to play for.
Crystal, you're not from too far away, just up the Acela corridor. But
yes.
I mean, you've been here 3 years now. This is your third
year.
Yep. So, you know, you went to school, you know, on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Is this starting to feel like home? Do you feel like you know your way around town? You've got your grocery stores and your spots that you're. I mean, is this kind of your adopted home now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was so fortunate to be drafted here. I mean, I'm in between North Carolina and in New York. So, I mean, I kind of have the best of both worlds. Whenever I want to go back and visit some college friends, or if they want to come up and see some games, they could do that. It's not that far of a trip. But, yeah, this is my third year living in this area, and I truly love it. And I'm looking to, like, literally stay here longer. Kree's moving in.
Yes, she's not going anywhere without
but,
me.
No, so it has been great. And like Kree's said, it's just really comforting having, you know, your friends and family be able to come to some games. And my parents basically come to every home game that we have. And I'm super excited about that.
Have you gotten the sense, we talked about it a lot during the Men's World Cup a couple of years ago, how Washington would always lead the way in terms of television ratings, and you'd have these huge watch parties. And I mean, do you get the sense that Washington stands on another level as a soccer town?
Oh, definitely. I mean, me coming from New York, I'm used to like big cities, and you know, it was tough when I had to like leave and go to school in North Carolina. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm leaving, you know, a huge city. And I think it's been really amazing how I've basically made DC area my home. Cause I mean, I remember when the men had their World Cup 2014, I mean, DuPont Circle was like the viewing party. And I was there, fortunate to be there, and I almost got bombarded because 5-1, and people were stepping on me pretty much. But it was like so packed, and it was incredible. And I just feel the vibe that DC has kind of just supporting all DC sports. So it's incredible.
I agree. Like, I feel like a lot of our sports teams support each other, and that's huge for this area. And I think that DC sports are very, very popular. And especially here, I mean, people love to go to watch live sporting events. And I think just it proved itself that DC is a soccer town or soccer city because of the World Cup viewership mm-hmm. that we had recently this past summer, and also throughout the Men's World Cup too. And you know, I hopefully, you know, some of the DC United fans would love to make the trek up to Germantown to support us as well, just so we have that partnership, I think, between the men's and the women's team. I think that's really, really important for us to kind of stick together in that and hopefully one day be under the same umbrella.
So kind of segues into some stuff. It's fun to talk about what's going on the field. You guys are playing well, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of issues going on right now in the soccer world and stuff that you guys are either on the front lines or at least right behind the front lines fighting for. So, yeah. You know, we looked at some of the numbers and last year, how much more money the women's team made mm-hmm. than the men's team, and how they had the single most watched soccer event mm-hmm. in the U.S.,
You're welcome.
So you know, in the last couple months, the equal pay issue mm-hmm. has been on the table. It's been something that people have been talking about. And I know I saw there was a Daily Show segment, I guess it was this week, that you were part of.
Yes.
How has that been? I know you two aren't one of the five that filed the suit, but I know you're a part of it. You're all working together. For
Absolutely.
This.
It's a team mm-hmm. thing. You know, those five are in our CBA group. We have different groups on our team. We have marketing, advertising,
entertainment,
and then the CBA. And those were the CBA leaders, but obviously we are in this all together. Mm-hmm. And they were just there to kind of lead that group, but we stay united completely throughout this entire thing. Yeah. All the decisions are team decisions, and we just have to make that clear.
Well, and I think that one of the things that stood out to me as I kind of started to look deeper into some of the numbers, you know, people know Hope Solo and they know Alex Morgan and they know that they have endorsement deals, and I think that maybe throws them off, like, oh, well, they're making money. Mm-hmm. So at the top, the money that was coming in from the federation was about even for men and women for the top level players in terms of how much money they were making, mm-hmm. but you get down to number 25, and it's about 1.7 times as much money for the men. Get down to number 50 and it's about 10 times
as
much.
Yeah, but that's also with sponsors, right. Sponsorships included. Mm-hmm. Without that,
right.
You take all of that away, then it's very, very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but, and the point being that there's this cliff that where, mm-hmm. where the disparity, maybe in terms of the people who, the stars who people recognize the most, they don't understand that there's a whole federation of players. Mm-hmm. And the deeper you go down the line and the deeper you get into, you know, girls who you play with on the club teams, mm-hmm. who maybe aren't getting paid if they don't win a game, that it's tied, you know, directly to stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I, when we talk about equal pay, what do you envision as the right way to solve this? Is it just no incentive based, you know, it's not tied to wins, or should it be tied to wins? Should it be tied to how much money the teams are bringing in? Does it matter year to year? Is it just straight up equality? Wait, how do you see it?
I mean, I think we endure the same amount of physical and mental efforts and training, and I think that it comes down to, you know, the equal amount of time spent on the pitch and with the team mm-hmm. and at tournaments and at games, and I do think it should be equal. If you have the same, you know, wins, ties, losses, whatever, you should get a similar amount. I mean, mm-hmm. we endure just the same as the men do, but it can't just be, you know, women versus men. It can't be the U.S. women's national team versus the men's national. We need to fight together in order to get what's right and what's mm-hmm. fair and what's, you know, equal. And, you know, we just are asking for equal pay, for equal play, for equal pay. Mm-hmm. And I think that is important to get that point across, because it's not us against the men. And that's what a lot of times that's the confusion there. We want to fight together. We need their support. And I do think it should be, you know, the same, because we endure just the same as the men do, if not more, because we're together
a lot.
And in an on year, which means just a World Cup or an Olympic year, we're together about 280 some days mm-hmm. out of 364. So if you can really, you know, grasp, you know, that and wrap your mind around that, that's a lot of time spent together training and you know. I guess
it's a lot when you throw that number out.
Right, it does. But I mean, we are number one in the world, and that's, I think, a testament to how many days we spend together.
One of the reasons I asked is because just to play devil's advocate in terms of the next 5 years, say, let's say the women's team starts making substantially more money than the men's team over the next 5 years as the sport grows and as attention grows. We're still good with equal. Is it about the effort you're putting in as opposed to the results that the federation's bringing in, or is it, you know, is it a matter of how much money, you know, each side is bringing in?
I do think it does come down to, you know, how much money, yeah, that we are bringing in. But I also think that the amount of work and the amount of, you know, effort you put into mm-hmm. that, I think should be, you know, come down to what we deserve. And we've put in so much work and we constantly fight mm-hmm. for what's equal and for what's fair and for what's right for women's soccer. And this isn't just with our team. This is over all industries. And this is also around the world and supporting all the other women's teams that play at our level as well. I mean, we're fighting for the Brazils, we're fighting for Sweden, we're fighting for Canada, we're mm-hmm. fighting for, you know, China, and these teams that really, you know, deserve equal pay, or, you know, what the men receive.
I know you've been on the national team for a while. Crystal, mm-hmm. This is sort of your first taste of all of this, the last couple of years being called up. Like, do you have that sense, and not just for the other nations' women's soccer teams, mm-hmm. but for other sports in America? Do you have the sense that you guys are sort of a flag bearer for women's sports in America?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually, living in this area, I've gone to a couple of Mystics games, and women's basketball is something that I'm like, oh my goodness, like I thought they were further along than, you know, than what I've been seeing when I go to these games. And it's things like that where I'm like, and they're backed up by the NBA in a sense, you know what I mean? So it's just incredible to see how much further they can still go. And what we're doing, I feel like Krieg said, is something not just for us. It's not just for women's soccer. It could be for other sports teams that, you know, we just want what's right. We just want equality, and mm. we're putting in the same amount of work. We're worth each other the same amount as on the men's side, and it's just, when it comes down to it, it's just equal is equal, you know.
How do you guys feel about? I know that there's a new FS1 deal for the league, and then some games are getting televised. How do you feel about sort of the exposure that you've gotten so far, and what else you can do to just get, you know, I mean, obviously you want people at games, but not everybody can go to a game because not everybody lives mm-hmm. within an hour or two of a stadium. What can you do to get in front of more eyes, you know, across the country and just sort of spread more awareness of the NWSL?
I think, you know, we've obviously done a good job with our U.S. national team as a whole mm-hmm. and our teammates, you know, in the NWSL to use our platforms that we have on social media and, you know, making sure we connect with the media that's in each city and really spread the word through, for example, today, radio, TV, go in studio, mm-hmm. like really get the word out. But it can't just come from us. It has to also come from, you know, media and just newspapers, radio, TV, sponsors. I mean, people need to really even shout from the rooftops and just say, look, I mean, we need advertising in coffee shops around the city. Like I was saying in an article before, we really need advertisements at bus stops, train stations. I mean, we need to do more, I think, advertising mm-hmm. in that way to really, in every city that we have a team, they need to, you know, advertise a little bit more. And I know the sponsors each year have, you know, participated and supported us a little bit more, but I think it still needs to be, you know, more than what we've received. And I think that is the only way that we're going to reach the people who we don't already reach mm-hmm. on our Twitter accounts or social media, because they already come to the games. They're already the ones watching. How do you reach those people that, you know, don't know that there's a women's team here? Sometimes I find myself down in DC and I'm talking to someone and they had no idea that there's a women's team here. And that to me is shocking. Mm-hmm. We need to then fix that. We need to change that. And the only way to do that is to really physically go put advertisements down in the city, mm-hmm. Talk to people, radio, newspapers, constantly. I mean, there could be a news segment here, you know, every week. Hey, check out the game. Get to the game up on Saturday against Portland at 7 p.m. I mean, we need people and fans mm-hmm. to come. And that is the way that it should be done every single week. And playing four games, I guess, on Fox Sports is great. But we need every single game to be on mm-hmm. on television. Luckily that YouTube is now playing our games live, which has been great.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it could
like
be more.
In the first year.
And like, so that's been like, you know, an upgrade and a facelift with our league as well. But I think it can still be more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to your point, when I'm on my side of things as a media member, and I'll write a story about a non-major four or major college sport, inevitably, even sometimes with men's soccer, still in D.C., I'll write a story and who cares? Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. But you get...
But people do. You have those people that do care and that want to know.
So you're fighting this cycle of, well, if people think that nobody cares, then nobody covers them, and
exactly.
then nobody does care, or at least nobody sees about it, and it's, you know, breaking out of it. I'm interested that you mentioned YouTube. How much have you guys... you know, interacted with people, you know, with your own fans and just chatter you see online about, are people tuning in? Because that's a generational thing. I mean, we're all, you know, under 35, like that's not something that my parents would ever think to do.
Mm-hmm.
And even really probably people 10 years older than us wouldn't think like, oh, I'll go watch a game live on YouTube.
Yeah. I think that's obviously why social media is big, though, because, I mean, it's a simple link that you can tweet out that people just have to click. Like, it's not even a matter of, hey, you got to type in YouTube and then you got to type this other
and
thing in.
Use a password or a passcode. You have to buy this or
so
buy that.
It's so simple based now. And I feel like it's just, like I said, it's as simple as tweeting something out but it's really more about connecting with those who don't already know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you raised a good point of going to, you know, D.C. area and putting up signs or things, because we connect so much with the people who already know about us. It's like they're already coming to the games. Those are the ones that are at the seats, at the stands. It's about getting those that don't know to come to the games.
I had a really interesting conversation a couple months ago. We had two of the Harlem Globetrotters in, and I thought it was really interesting that, I mean, they are maybe the most aggressive team that I've seen in using social media. They get after it. Every player has a Snapchat or has a Twitter or has an Instagram or many combinations of those, and everywhere they go, when they sat down, they were already, you know, saving stuff for later. Do you feel like you have to be your own content creators in that sense, where like you're constantly looking for new ways to put yourselves out there?
Absolutely. You want to stay ahead of the game. I mean, you want to constantly make people aware of what we're doing, and because it's all positive and it's all healthy, and people love football, and people love to watch good quality soccer. And I think that is very important, but it also has to come from the club itself. You know, I think that we are doing as much as we can as individuals, but then as a club, you know, you have to have that backing and that support and that marketing advertisement and the willingness and the money to be put out into the city, and for people to really know, hey, this is where we're at. We can maybe even fill buses down in the city and say, hey, we're going to pay for buses to come up to the Sportsplex, and just spend this amount of money. You get a bus ride, you get a ticket to the game, enjoy it. We'll bring you home after. I mean, you have to come up with different types of ideas to really get people from DC up to Germantown into the Soccerplex. And we can only do so much with social media. And also it comes from the NWSL first and foremost, or US Soccer, NWSL, and then, you know, each individual club. And that's, you know, on our own shoulders. So we are doing the best we can you know, doing the most on social media, or trying to, you know, but once again, those are the people that already know and that will already be there to support us. So it's getting those people in the city that, you know, might not know when the games are or what's going on. Or,
well, the next game is tomorrow. It's Saturday.
Yes.
It's 7 o'clock.
The huge game.
Right.
It's big.
And
we're number one in the league.
Right.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to come?
They're undefeated too, right? This is a big.
No, they're not.
Well,
they tied.
So
okay.
They're
undefeated,
but
yeah. They're 2 points. They have 2 points behind us. Yeah.
So I know that's obviously your focus right now, but Olympics are coming up in a few months. I'm sure on you know the backs of your minds, it's out there. I'm just curious about, you know, from a training standpoint, I was a runner growing up. We would always train to peak at the end of the season so that when championships came around, we're playing our best. How much is there in terms of your training schedule, you know, trying to play your best in season right now and also trying to be ready and at your peak come August in the Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a challenge being on the national team, I think, for me, and playing with a club team, because you have two teams that you want to give your all to, and you know, you're always thinking about one when you should be thinking about the other. And I think for me, just personally, I just wake up every day and whatever team I'm with, I give my all to that team. I mean, it's funny, you know, yes, the Olympics are this year, but we haven't been with our national team yet. So I just think it's the only way I can prepare for what's further down the line is to focus on what's in front of me now. And like I said, tomorrow's a big game and it's all about our performance tomorrow and how Kriegs is going to play and how I'm going to play. And those are steps that we're taking to prepare for the Olympics.
I totally agree. I mean, I second that 100% because you have to live in the present. You can't mm-hmm. be two places at once. And right now, this is the most important thing we have. And tomorrow's the most important game of our careers mm-hmm. because that's the only thing, that's the only game we can look forward to. Mm-hmm. And we have to really put everything else kind of, it's not on the back burner, so to say, but mm-hmm. we really have to stay present in the moment and yeah. give everything to this team and where we are. But I agree with Crystal, wherever you're waking up and whatever team you're with, you're going to give your best mm-hmm. that day and give your all and physically, you know, be there and be present in that moment.
Well, not to take you too much off of what's in front of you right now, but I know there's going to be a lot of expectations just coming off of last year. Do you have that sense that people almost just expect gold medal or nothing because of the World Cup?
I love that. They just like expect us to.
Do you ever get that sense like when you talk to people that's just the standard now?
But I mean, that's what we expect out of ourselves yeah. too. I mean, we you know, have that expectation or else we wouldn't be here and yeah. be in the position that we're in. I mean, we you know, strive to be great. We strive, you know, for success. And that's the only thing that we really accept out of ourselves is to be, you know, successful. Yeah. But I also think that, you know, it's important to realize that, you know, not every game is going to be perfect. You know, you're not going to win every single thing that you can, but you obviously have to bring your best every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what we do. We're a competitive group. We're driven and we are focused. And I think that is throughout, that's like our American U.S. mentality on our team. And I think I can, you know, speak for most of us and especially mm-hmm. on this team the Washington Spirit. I mean, we are a competitive driven group and we've been relentless so far this season.
Yeah. Like we lost today in training, I know. And I didn't want to shake anyone's yeah. hand. I was like,
in training,
get out of
you
here.
Lose and
friend.
You're just like, and it's like a 5v5 or 6v6 match, but I will not stop thinking about that until the next time I step out on the field. Yeah. And that just goes to show you the competitiveness of this group. And also then we bring that to the national team. Mm-hmm. But I think some of our successes with the national team, we try and bring here. We bring that energy yeah. here and we kind of raise the level so mm-hmm. that the, you know, our teammates here on the Washington Spirit, you know, we try and make each other look good. We build each other up. We fight for each other and we want what's best for each other. So mm-hmm. we make each other work and it's a challenge every single day.
Yeah.
Do the two of you, have you felt the sort of, have you gotten closer because you share both of these teams together? I mean, I'm sure you.
Yeah, definitely.
You probably spend more time together than with anybody else.
I'm so
right?
lucky.
I mean, my, Let's okay, go. This is like such a cute little story that I'm going to share. But my first camp, like, it was 2013. And I remember we had to do like the beep test. And obviously I'm like, wow, this is just like it. Like they're going to just cut me before they even see me play soccer. They're going to see me like do this beep test and yeah. just be like, no, you're done.
Can you explain just for people who don't know?
Oh yeah. The beep test is a fitness test. You just basically start at a line. You sprint to another line, you hear a beep and that's halfway. And then the second beep is when you should be back to where you started. And then it gets obviously faster and faster as you know, you go on. And I just remember Kriegs was running next to me and I had not met Kriegs yet. I was just kind of like, hi, I'm Crystal. And like, I mean, but she was such a leader. Like from that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to be my favorite person. I can tell because she was just pumping me up. And like, she was like, come on, one more. I mean, and we never met before. So I'm just like, she's so sweet. Like she's a sweetheart. She doesn't even know me. She's seeing me die. My lung is like left back that way. And she's like trying to pick it up for me. And she was just awesome. Oh, and I think from that moment on, and then I got drafted to the Spirit and I was
like, hey girl, I get
to be with my favorite person all the time. But yeah.
We do this
just,
every day.
Yeah. Every day. I mean, I'm so happy that
it's
I
been
get to
so
come
amazing
to you.
Because like, you know, Crystal to me has been, she's been such an honor to play with and have as a teammate, but also to grow as a friend. I think sometimes the most important things about playing soccer is the friendships that you make, these lifelong friendships. And that is something that, you know, we can take away from this sport and we're very, very lucky to do. But I've seen her grow since that day into this leader for our team here in Washington Spirit. And it's been a dream to play with her and just see her just crush. Literally just, I mean, coming off of MVP season last year. I mean, just carrying this team and, you know, how much work she puts in to be the best player she can be. And that has shown, obviously, not only on this team, but with the national team and in, you know, the past year. And it's just so nice for me to see her grow into, I know, and not to like be it, but it's true. And I'm so happy we're here together and supporting each other and fighting for each other. And it's been really
great.
Crush
tomorrow.
Yes. Sorry. Be ready, Portland.
Sorry. I mean,
you guys have both had, as everyone has over a long enough career, I mean, you had some injuries that have cost you some international competitions in the past. And so you went through that, and now you're going back to the Olympics, and you get to.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah, well, right.
We haven't made the team yet, but that's why we got to keep crushing in this league.
But I mean, that's like, how is that as a veteran now, having you've gone through this yourself, and now, you know, you're watching, you know, a good friend of yours who's walked that same road get a chance to maybe do the same thing?
Absolutely. It's incredible because I want to help, you know, my teammates, and especially, you know, Crystal, who I've connected with since she first came on the national team. She's been a part of the national team program for a long time, but just coming up to the senior team, I really loved having you know, the Christine Lillies of the world, the Kate Markgraffs of the world, Abby Wambach, Christine Rampone. Those were the leaders that I really looked up to when I first came on the team, and Heather Mitz, and, you know, these amazing, incredible players and teammates. And that is who I want to be also to some of our players, and not only Crystal, but our younger players too, that have come recently this past year. I mean, I want to be that role model for them on the team. I want to help them as much as I can with the experiences that I've had. And that is, you know, rewarding for me in a sense. You know, not only I have been on the team for 8 or 9 years now, but still to like have that feeling that I can help my teammates help themselves, or want to help themselves as much as I can. Then that's I'm doing my job then in that way.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in, guys. I really appreciate it. I know it's crazy. It's midseason and everything, but best of luck this weekend and for the next few months as you guys are competing.
Thank you.
Get up to Germantown and watch a game.
I mean, come on.
Pack the plex, pack the plex. I repeat, pack the plex.
If you're not there, you are missing out 100%.